Anyone have any thoughts about shame that we talked about Friday? Anything come up?
You read on it.
What is it good for? And we're ruining your life.
Gary?
Yeah, I thought about it. I'm trying to remember what I thought. I tried to forget, I guess. Oh, that's
true.
It's like something that just Hoover is about. Trying to find a place it can light. And if we've been through so much regarding this and all the things we used to do, it's not a major factor, but it is a factor. I mean, there are certain things when I can feel it viscerally when I'm letting shame have its way with me.
Yeah, when I talked Thursday or Friday, when I talked about you in particular, I mean, your whole countenance fell. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. The fundamental issue with shame or guilt or idolatry is that it defines how you view yourself and how you view others. And it defines how you respond. And so the whole issue of this mystery of Christ is that there must be nothing in us, no past action, no past anything that defines us or that is the controlling point, whether it's positive or negative, so that we really know that now is the accepted time. Now is the only accepted time. And now is the only thing that has any definition, and the only now is Jesus Christ. But as long as shame, in particular, isn't removed, then when those trigger mechanisms take place, it's for you, it's as though the gospel didn't exist. Because you can see it. Your whole countenance changes. You go inward. You bow your head. You want to go in a hole. You want to. And you can't trust. You can't. Everything. It's just controlled you. And that is. As we've said so often, the religion that you have outwardly is meaningless to God. It's how you respond on the inward basis that God sees. What?
I remember us going over this before at some time, I don't know when.
You have to talk louder, Ronnie.
I remember us going over this before about shame.
That's in ancient Israel. Every time that was said, oh, are we going to have to go through this again? It was the indicator of a that yes, we need to go through it again. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now the word glory there is an interesting word. It's a word that I can't pronounce, but it means to boast or vaunt, whether it's conscious or subconscious, either in a good sense or a bad sense. That you should, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what it means to vaunt, to something else is brought forth other than this mystery. That's why Paul said, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, the purpose of preaching, the purpose of the Scriptures is to bring you that point, to the point where you glory in nothing but the cross, by whom the world is, the world is crucified to you and you unto the world. You understand the two differences? The world is crucified unto you, but you are also crucified unto the world. You got a little bit of handle on that? Well,
no good.
Neither has any attraction to the other.
Right. It's like if I there's no merit in suffering the loss of all things. I mean, any fool can suffer the loss of all things. But the counting them but dung is the mystery. So that they hold no more attraction to you. So that, you know, it's people come here for 1,000 reasons, as we said so often. You'll stay for only one. And a lot of the people come here, or hopefully other places around the world like it, that and because everything has gone wrong, they're homeless, they're drug addicts, whatever it is. And yet, for them, it just becomes a resting point for a while because they need to go back out. They need to go do something. They got places to go and mountains to climb and rivers to cross and all that. So the world was crucified unto them for a while, they were crucified unto the world, but the world wasn't crucified unto them, so it held more attraction. It's like Ronnie's white picket fence. The mystery of God and the mystery of contentment is to be able to honestly say to yourself, but you know, if anybody asks you, what would you want to do? What if you could be anywhere in the world doing anything you wanted to do, where would you be and what would you be doing? Now, this is a trick question. I think I told you before when I had the talk show, I interviewed all these muckety-muck Christians, and I asked every one of them that same question. If you could be anywhere in the world doing anything you wanted to do, where would you be and what would you be doing? Well, if the world is crucified unto you and you unto the world, then you are where you are, and what you're doing right now is everything. There is no other attraction. There's no other wanting to be something, doing something else. But if that isn't the case, then you're not in this position. Does that communicate?
Did anyone say the right answer?
No. It's like when I asked what the gospel was. Every time I asked what the gospel was, I got a different answer. Huh?
I remember being just so amazed with, you know, it seemed like everybody would know what the gospel was, but I didn't know what it was.
You know? I know you didn't.
It was a shock, you know, because it seems both fundamental to even ask somebody the question, it's strange, but then when you find out nobody knew, it was stranger.
Didn't you go to that Bible college?
Sure enough.
He graduated. All right. What?
I think we have community service people coming up. Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't take two of you.
I mean, Levi.
Well, I am the community service director.
Well, you should have stood up and beat down Pete.
Pete is my.
He's your translator. All right, so the point of all this is the goal of the gospel is so that nothing in your past, not emotion, not guilt, not shame, not idolatry, nothing in your past defines you. Now, that's easy to say, but man, is that difficult to live. What?
God bless you, buddy.
Morning.
Pete, why don't you take it outside? So again, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What the hell is going on? Let's look at it from another way. Go to Colossians chapter 2.
You could be anywhere you want to be.
Where is Colossians?
General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians.
That's why I asked them left and right. Where are we going? I'm just
Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9. Well, we can go up a little bit before that. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now this is the key. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Okay, let's assume you're before a judge. Some of you have been before a judge several times. Before a judge, and there's a list of charges against you. And what the judge does is he crosses out the charges if you've done your probation or done your prison time, but you can still look and see what the charges are. Now here, This is not what... They're still visible, they're still there, they're still subject to being examined by you and by others. As you know, we can when we do all these investigations, we find out all of the stuff that different people have done. Now, but Paul does not say that Jesus crossed out the debt or and the sin and the shame. Rather, he says that he wiped it out, the handwriting. The New Testament time, the ink was made of soot, mixed with gum and diluted with water. Because the ink contained no acid, it did not stain the papyrus. And so a wet sponge would completely erase the writing, just as the cross erased our debt. It is gone forever. So when this is wiped out, it's erased, but it's erased so it's no longer seen. It's no longer, it can't be examined. Now, this is the goal. You can, what we've done, you can talk about the blood of Christ and it's forgiven you of all sin and all that, and shame and the sin offering and the shame offering. But if it is still there and it's just got a cross through it, then you still keep it in your memory. You understand me? And it still controls you. You still respond based on all of those charges or those activities or the shame or the guilt of the past. But the mystery of God is that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailing it to the cross. So the issue here is, as if you can see that those charges... If you think about it, they are really voices in your head. And some of them, their voices are hidden really deep, but they have that scariest kind of voice. So let's go to Isaiah 26 and see what this means.
Then we're not seeing.
We're still subject to them. Okay.
We still remember
you. Are you there? Uh-huh. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. For in the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. He will still deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. Now this is a part about, O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. This is hard to understand, but you've got to see that every one of these charges, and even the charges you don't even know about, the shame issues, are voices inside you that deny that Jesus is come in the flesh. If he is come in the flesh, then you have nothing left to do. Everything is perfect, exactly as it should be. But these voices have dominion over you. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Ronnie? Huh? Now, aren't you tired of these voices controlling you? What?
Well, this kind of goes to if they're still there and they don't go away, then it's because you haven't seen the fruitlessness of them and pushed every barrier. You're still...
You haven't...
Allowing yourself this luxury of thinking that maybe if I do this, something good will happen to me, rather than do it. Right.
Remember, you can't, the evil one can't be raised from the dead a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, when you have these sweet thoughts, you're raising up all the other from the dead, from the deadly head wound in this mystery.
Yeah.
Can you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. And they have dominion over you because they affect your countenance, they affect how you respond to people, they affect whether you're at peace or not. You understand that? So that means they've had dominion over you. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Now what does that mean? It means that you must see that all our works, everything about us, every exact thing that has ever happened to you, happened by the determined will of God to bring you to this point, to bring you to this morning if necessary, so that now those voices will no longer have any dominion over you, and that shame and guilt and insecurity and everything else will have no dominion over you if you ascribe it to God. By thee only will we make mention of thy name. You understand that he created you and every aspect of your life was exactly as it should be so you could fit into this mystery. So you would be shaped so that you would be knit together in love in his body. But as long as you are having sweet thoughts or regretting that these things happened to you, then you have given, you're glorying in those things. Do you understand? You're not glorying in the cross, you're glorying in those things. And they still then will have dominion over you. And the reason shame is such a powerful one is because you're afraid to name it. You're afraid to think that you know, it makes you feel like less than anything. Am I communicating at all?
Yes.
So, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, or in the context that we just discussed, they have been blotted out. But we keep writing them back again. They have been blotted out. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. If the memory hasn't perished, other than some seeing without any emotional content, then they still have control over you. Now, how do you get them to perish? How do you do? What's the mystery here? I promise you, no matter how asinine it seems, the way in which they perish is with the moment you say and understand that there has never been anyone in control of your life other than God. To get you to this point, today, now. And again, that's how faith causes even their memory to perish.
That's the touch point of believing. It's that critical juncture where you either believe that God is one, or you believe there's two gods.
Yeah, you believe you're in a battle.
Yeah.
Not what you resist, you empower. That's enough for today. Anybody have any response? This should be the best news you've ever had. Well, unless you like being in bondage.
Great news.
Turn the air conditioner on. Take it, big guy.